My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
So I had a chance to think while I was peeing.
For anyone out there who's ready to cancel us,
fosse se mal.
We edged ourselves.
I'm sorry. The hemorrhoids took me to a place.
I'm cutting all that. I hate that it came out of my mouth. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
Hi, I'm Netta. Hi, how are you doing, Megan?
I'm fine. I'm feeling emotionally exhausted. How about you, Netta?
Oh, I'm great. I went to the woods because I wanted to live. I went to the woods because my friends took me hiking, so I missed half of the skating weekend as it was happening live, which was different. I felt very detached from everything, and I had to catch up on my own, which was kind of sad. Turns out I missed the excitement of watching with everyone in in real time.
I know. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't, I really think this is one of the first events we haven't been able to, text each other about.
Aww.
In, forever. So I felt the separation anxiety. I'm glad we get to finally hash it out now.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, this is going to be so raw and fresh because we haven't talked about half of it. So this is going to be exciting. We are doing Skate Canada. This is what happened this weekend was Canadian stuff.
Canadian stuff, eh? So before we get into the event, we want to get back to our breaking news segment and talk about all of the various injuries and changes to assignments and things that have happened this week.
Yang Yu is replacing Tursunbaeva for a cup of China.
That's right, which is really exciting. We're going to talk about Yang Yu a lot this episode because she made quite a splash at Skate Canada, and now she gets to do it again at Cup of China. So as sad as we are to not see Elizabeth Tursunbaeva this Grand Prix season, it's cool that stuff like this gives, younger skaters a chance. Younger than, what is Tursunbaeva, 19? But the other big pullout of, the recent days has been Vincent Joe, who dropped the bomb that he's not competing this Grand Prix season because he needs to focus on his studies, which, there's some good news and some bad news to this.
What are those?
Okay, so I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is that there is now two additional weekends that we are in the same city and we could run into each other and he could say, how come you called me a depressed businessman on your podcast? The good news is that him pulling out of Cup of China gives KG an excellent chance of podiuming and making the final. So,
Conrad Orzel has been assigned to replace him, representing Canada at Cup of China.
I actually do think it's really cool for somebody who's kind of at the top of his game right now to say, no, you know what? I only really get, one semester. I think he's going to do one semester at school and then defer until, after the Olympics or something. And I think it's cool.
I do actually really, really respect that for him. He's made the choice for himself to, focus. And otherwise, he would be, going up to professors hey, I couldn't do this assignment because I was in China skating. And then it's in China skating, he would be hey, I'm underperforming because I wasn't training because I was in business class learning how to be a less depressed businessman or whatever. But yeah, this is actually really smart of him and I'm very proud of him and I hope he learns things. Do we have any more breaking news?
Yeah, we need to talk about the car accident that almost took my husband from me. So
that's dramatic.
I know, it was really dramatic. But you know what? It's we got to follow up on last week's really dramatic season premiere. And it's not enough for cars to have come for Jason Brown. Now they're coming for Keiji Tanaka and Marin Honda, who were in a fender bender in Canada, and they were rear-ended while they were in, a taxi or something by another car.
An Uber, I think.
Oh, yeah, right, an Uber, because it's not 1957, so it's an Uber. And apparently it was kind of gnarly. Marin had a bandage around her leg for the entire competition, and KG later, he didn't say anything until after the competition was over, and then he was like, yeah, I felt kind of funny, but I don't think I'm going to go to the doctor.
He also said that he wanted to be strong because Marin was kind of shook about it. So he had to quote unquote man up and be strong in this situation because she was scared, which I think is very sweet.
It's like, really sweet.
It's like older brotherly of him.
Yeah. I love him so much, and I'm so glad that he didn't die. I was very sick while that happened, and I didn't hear about it until like 3 days later because I was like on another planet mentally and physically, and I'm glad. I think the universe was like keeping me safe from that knowledge until it knew that like I had...
Well, I think in general though, like they kept it, like I think the news broke on like Thursday, but it happened on Tuesday. I guess like their Federation waited until they were sure they were fine to actually speak up about it.
I'm really glad they did that. I think that knowing the way that skating fandom is, I think that it probably would have been a huge deal and they didn't need that in their lives. Yeah. And they both did a lovely job. So obviously, you know, I need Cars to calm down. Now, discussion question. Are Cars doing this on purpose? Are Cars becoming sentient? And is this...
Do Cars hate figure skating?
Yeah. Is this how we get from our world to the universe of Disney Pixar Cars, where cars are people?
Yeah, it all started when they decided to kill every single figure skater one at a time, and then they moved on to the rest of humanity,
right?
Until there was only Cars left.
I think this could be it. I think this is the Cars singularity. Cars looked at figure skaters and they said, no. They said, humans shouldn't move like that. They shouldn't go fast like that. Only we can do that. If they can do that, they don't need us. We need to put a stop to this. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Cars hate Zambonis?
Oh my God. Are we at the start of a Car Zamboni war?
It's either that or they idolize Zambonis and like go to watch like Zamboni competitions.
Oh my God. Should we be writing for Disney Pixar Cars? Can we include a scene where the cars go to like the Grand Prix, but it's Zambonis instead of people?
There's like really beautiful, like blanked out, like Pimp My Ride Zambonis who are like Olympians.
I really hate that you just said Pimp My Ride Zambonis. I hope that no one's ever said that before and no one ever says it again.
Yeah, this is unrepeatable. It's a once in a... I don't think anyone has ever had this conversation before.
Probably that's for the best. Now, one more thing I want to say about this. Can you fucking imagine being in, like, a traffic accident? And it's bad enough. Like, who among us has not been in, like, a stupid fender bender? And, like, you get out of the car and it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And it's, like, half of the fucking, like, Olympic Japanese figure skating team. Like, that's a story you tell for the rest of your fucking life.
I'm sorry, that sounds like a Mad Libs.
It does. It's like, that whoever hit them, like, I'm mad at them and I wish they had not done that. But that person has an amazing story to tell at parties for the rest of their lives. And everyone's going to be like, no, you're making that up. And they'll be like, bro, I swear
to
God.
You're going to have to, like, pull out, like, the local news, like, article about it to prove.
I would feel so bad. It's a nightmare. It's an actual nightmare. It has never occurred to me before that on top of, like, just feeling like a bad driver and an asshole when you get into a stupid fender bender, like...
You could off an Olympian.
You could hurt someone important. Oh, God. Okay. Well, anyway, as usual, this segment has been just a cheerful and uplifting moment in our lives.
Yes. Let's cover the rest of this, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Let's start with ladies. We are only doing the podium because there's so much to talk about, it turns out. We keep, like, scaling it down.
Well, yeah, because in the latter half of the season, there's enough time for us to do separate episodes for the boys and the girls. But with Grand Prix, we have to combine them. So it's just, like, you know.
A lot. But if you want to hear more, quick plug. I know this is not the time for it. But if you want to hear us say things about every single person who skates out, just follow us on Twitter. It's all on there.
Yeah, we talk about everybody. So we are going to give a pewter shout out to our girl Brady Tennell, hashtag Stan Brady.
Stan Brady! Yeah, she was beautiful again.
She was beautiful again. Yeah, I mean, you know, no major mishaps, couple under rotations, but she gave another beautiful performance, and, you know, it was just a really tough field. Now, with a silver at Skate America and a fourth at Skate Canada, I think she's definitely going to be an alternate for the final. I would be surprised if she was, like, definitely in, but nothing ever goes according to the way I think it's going to, so.
Yeah. But good news is she's now basically done with her Grand Prix assignments, which means that she gets to go back to the drawing board, see what went good and what went bad, and be very, 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 very strong in time for US Nats and for continents and like the rest of the season, which I'm sure is going to be beautiful. Yay, Brady.
Yay, Brady. Okay, so in third place, winning the bronze medal at Skate Canada, was Young Yu.
The 11th woman, right?
To I believe
ever
so.
Land a triple axel in international competition. And it was a beauty. It was so good.
Her triple axels, they're gorgeous. I mean, they're not as consistent as some of the other ones, perhaps, but when they land, they're like chef's kiss. And she said in her short program press conference, she's like, oh, I know that they're not as good as Rika's. I look up to Rika so much. I want to be like her. And I'm like, girl, like, they might be as good as Rika's. Like, when they're good, they're real good.
They are. She travels so far. And she's 15. And I will say one of my favorite moments of this entire weekend was just like the micro moment of her face after she landed that, because she was like performing like throughout this entire program, which is a Romeo and Juliet, and we can go into it. It's so cool. But there was like a moment where she just like grinned because she knew she like nailed it. And that was like super joyful. It's so, she made history. It was great.
I love that. I love seeing when a skater kind of breaks character a little bit to be happy for themselves. Maybe the judges don't like it, but I like it as a viewer. I want to see that she's proud of herself. So yeah, let's get into it. Her short program is Romeo and Juliet. I mean, in the great tradition of Junliet, she is another iconic Korean Romeo and Juliet. I want to say Young Juliet.
Aww.
She's so beautiful. I love the costume. I love the like hair piece. It's one of the most beautiful Juliets I've seen, like aesthetically and performance wise.
And it's like an immediate Juliet. Like you look at it and you know what story she's going to tell you. Similarly to like, I guess like all of the costume conversation last episode where I talked about like just recognizing the visual reference. I think just like the shape of her dress and the hair piece like really take me there. Without being like, oh, I'm at the Ren Faire, this is Juliet. Like, it's smart and very beautiful. It's just so exciting to me to, I believe this was her Grand Prix debut. I might be, yeah, it is. She was at the Junior Grand Prix last year and she got bronze. So this is her Senior Grand Prix debut and she shows up looking gorgeous, nails a triple axel right out the gate. It's just, moments like that are just so exciting to me and like, it's cheesy, but, like, reminds me why we get excited over, like, all of this. Because no one could have guessed last year that she was going to do this.
I think, like, going forward, in addition to her, hopefully her confidence will get a little stronger now that she's got a medal and a second Grand Prix assignment, and she'll kind of start to believe, like, she belongs there with Rika and the others. You know, her consistency, I'm sure, will improve. I think, like, when I watch her, I see someone who, like, has the grace and the sensitivity to really like one day have the artistry. I don't totally see it there right now, but I see like the beginnings of it. And so I could see that being something like in future seasons, but you know, maybe it grows and we see it at like Worlds. I don't know.
Yeah. This is like literally her like second or third time skating as a senior. So this is literally just going to keep growing and growing and growing.
Yeah. And her, obviously her jumps are stunning. Her spins are also gorge. Very centered, very fast.
Yes. Can we talk about Evita? Which is a sentence I've never said in my entire
life. Yeah, I was going to say. All right.
It's not just a weird choice of, like, Evita. Aside from, like, whatever, like, political storyline, is also just, like, a story for an older person, for an older woman who's, like, lived a life. So that was, like, my first thought about it. Secondly, her cut, like, okay, fine, you decide to do Evita. Her cut of it is bizarre. Just like the choice of within the field of Evita, the songs that she is doing, bizarre.
I've said it before, I'll say it again a million times. I don't know why we need to be doing Andrew Lloyd Webber on ice. And unfortunately, yep, I have a suspicion that once the Cats movie comes out, it's going to be a lot of it. Yeah, you didn't think about that, right? I just ruined your life.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. So anyway, but so I think it's, I agree with you. I think it's a weird choice. I think that when she missed the triple axel in the free, she got kind of sullen and then she was just kind of going through the motions and it really affected her ability to perform, which sucks because the one good thing about this program is there's a lot of opportunities for her to really like play a character and be cute and act and be like kind of a show woman. And she can do that. This was not like the best instance of that I have seen of that. So that's something to work on, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, that comes with like experience and like growth, I guess. What I didn't say is the Evita dress is so gorgeous as well. The like short sleeve, Nude Illusion, silver stuff. And it's really pretty. And also, like, I thought it just like having like a normal t-shirt length short sleeve is a very like unusual choice. Like people either do like no sleeves or like full, you know, like down to like the middle finger kind of thing. It's pretty. She's pretty and she's very promising and I'm very excited.
Yeah, she's just charming as heck. And we're really excited that we get to see her again. They just announced it last night and everybody was like, yes. So us included. So can't wait to talk about her again at Cup of China in a couple weeks. You know what she could do, which would be wild? Like, it's cute that she's like, oh, I look up to Rika. I want to be like Rika, because what Rika did last year was originally only have one Grand Prix assignment, but then be like, surprise, bitch, I have a triple axel. Get a second Grand Prix assignment, go to the final, and then win the final. So if Young Yu really wanted to be like Rika,
to be like Rika,
she's on her way.
Oh my God, this is so exciting. This is a cute, fresh prediction.
I don't actually know if she's going to win because she's going to have to, if she goes to the final, she's going to have to go up against Quadsters. But we'll talk about that.
You never know.
You never know.
But anyway, speaking of Rika.
Speaking of Rika, in second place winning silver is Rika Kihira of Japan.
It was like a battle of triple axels at this event.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts that this podium is like triple axel, quads.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. But we've talked about that at length, like, y'all know. Can we just talk about, I feel like we've kind of started talking about Rika's programs, but not really.
I want to say, because she debuted them over the summer, so I feel like we've talked about them a little bit on the Summer Ice Show episode, maybe?
Yeah, but not, like, in a competitive context, which was kind of different.
Yeah, it's interesting. She has kind of, like, a look this year, and I don't know if it goes with either program, but it's very much, like, an aesthetic in and of itself, which is, like, beautiful, flowy, bluish dress with, like, gold embellishments. Mm. The short program dress is the one that's, like, dark blue, right?
Yeah.
And then the free skate is teal.
Is, like, a teal. Yeah. It's almost like she has a color scheme more than she has, like, separate references for both costumes.
I mean, she looks beautiful. I'm not mad at it.
Oh, no, she looks stunning. Also, like, she always wins with, like, hair accessories and, like, brevets and stuff as well. She's one of those skaters where, like, it's, like, thought through, like, top to bottom. I've talked about this before. I get annoyed when someone's paid, like, thousands of dollars for a dress and then just does a ponytail. Or with the guys, like, you know, whatever, doesn't comb their hair. This is not, like, a gendered opinion. It's just, like, in general, I appreciate, like, a top-to-bottom thing. And she gives me that. You're right. I don't know how they connect to her stories of the music. That might be because I don't really get the stories of the music just yet.
Yeah, I think that we spoke about how the short program is kind of, like, going clubbing. It's, like, a warehouse rave vibe. But I get that less now with this pretty beautiful costume. I want her to go back to the, like, mesh top and the leather pants. Yeah,
I miss that a lot. I think it's because we've built this narrative for ourselves. And because, like, the name of it is Breakfast in Baghdad, I always, like, imagine, like, one of those nights where you've been partying and at some point it's just light out and you're like, well, I guess we're doing breakfast.
Yes, exactly.
Like, after the rave.
Exactly.
Which is, like, this very, like, uncanny specific thing. And, this dress, like, no one looks like that.
I want to talk about this music.
Please do.
I love this music, and I it's so fucking weird, Netta. It's, I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, that's what it is, right? It's just,
Zo! Can you give me more of that?
Zo! There's a lot of, like, I'm genuine. Okay, I just want to say a disclaimer. I'm assuming this is just scatting. If this is like a language and I just that would be awful. I swear to God, I'm not.
hold on. Before we move on, I gotta find out. No, it is scatting.
It's scatting. Okay, I was gonna say, if I swear to God, I'm not making fun of a language I don't understand. It's scatting.
Breakfast in Baghdad. I'm double checking just so we can know. Breakfast in Baghdad, 2010, jazz. It doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
What do you mean it doesn't have a Wikipedia page? It's a very influential piece of music.
It's a Korean singer. She's a South Korean jazz singer. Instrument. It just says instrumental.
Language? Translation not available. I wish somebody would transcribe it. Oh, it says jazz improv. Okay, yeah, I feel confident that that's...
Yeah, jazz improv.
I love it, though. Okay, so for me, it's filling the void in my heart. I'm sorry. Today, the person who we can't stop talking about is Brady, I guess. But the void that her free skate, or, I'm sorry, her old short program left in my heart with the, like, yaha, is gone. But I now have Zao. I have Zao! And I can live with that.
Yeah, there always has to be one. I wish you would dirty it up a little, though.
Not in, like, a sexual way, even, but...
I want it to be a weird party, yeah.
Yeah, like, lean into the weirdness of it, maybe. Like, it's... She's a very... Like, because you said, like, she always looks very polished, and that's a nice thing. Like, we like that about her, but it's, like, that doesn't jive with the fact that the music is messy and unpolished. I mean, jazz improv is not polished.
That's the point.
And then the free skate... Okay, I am very confused by the free skate, and can I just say, like... I said this on Twitter, and somebody, like, linked me to, like, an essay someone, I don't know if it was them or someone else, that wrote on Tumblr, like, analyzing, like, every piece of choreography, and I'm, like, thank you to who did that. I'm so sorry I don't have your name, but thank you to whoever did that. I read it, and it was really interesting, and I guess my response to the essay is, I don't want to have to read an essay to understand someone's choreography. Yeah. I feel like if it's really good choreography, it will be self-evident.
Yeah, I will support you in this. As someone who has written many essays analyzing choreography and like how choreo can represent, you know, certain stories and all of that.
Yeah, like this is coming from, like, we literally met in academia for performance studies, like, so we like doing that and we like reading those essays, but I don't think that should be a necessary thing to get it.
You know what I enjoy, though, in any essay about, like, any mode of performance is when you read about it and the response is not like, oh, thank you, I now understand. It's like, oh, duh, I just didn't have the words for this, but I've seen it and I know. It's great, and I super, super, super appreciate people who do stuff like that.
It was really well done, like, a really good analysis, and had pictures, like, A+.
Yeah. Especially, like, I know, like, lately you and I have been talking, I think, like, since our conversation with Jordan as well, about, like, bringing people in, or, like, making the sport accessible to people who haven't seen it, or who will not think of going to Tumblr to read an essay about it. So I guess, like, that's where, like, the rift comes for me, is... We shouldn't have to be academic about this to understand.
Yeah, like, I think that what you're saying is right. Like, if somebody wrote an essay, like, if I said, Yuzuru Hanyu's Origins program makes me feel some type of way, and then someone wrote an essay analyzing this is what he does specifically that makes you feel that way, that has, like, enlightened my response to it, but I still had the response regardless of whether I read it or not.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, an essay that makes me get it is kind of like, all right, well, that's like, I don't want to have to do homework to watch ice skating. So, yeah, I think, you know, so allegedly the story is like about an angel of peace. I don't know. I just don't get angel from it. I mean, maybe I'm just like thinking of it as a very like Halloween costume, white angel with white wings.
You're thinking like very like Christian angel.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that her Claire de Lune from last year is so much more angel than anything that she does in this program. Like, why go there? It's a narrative they made up. They put together several disparate pieces of music and said, this is about an angel. And I'm like, if you get to make up that narrative, why would you not make one up that makes sense to the pieces of music, or why make up a narrative? It's kind of fighting a losing battle because no one knows that story because you just made it up. Like, it might, I think it's too complicated. I think give her something simple. Give her like an emotion or a word, the word angel even, but to give her a whole thing of like, this is an angel that descends and stops wars. And this part represents the part where she's like fighting a tank. Or, I don't know. That doesn't happen. But
it's like an entire jukebox musical they came up with.
Yeah. For this yes, one thing. Exactly. For, but for music that no one knows.
Yeah. I just want to go back and say, I said the Christian angels, that's bullshit. I wanted to say like some just like generic representation of an angel, because Christian angels are actually terrifying.
No, yeah, just, I know like, what you meant.
Very it's scary.
More, it's more like Old Testament angels than it. I'm thinking more like
the angel that pops on your shoulder when you have to make a good decision.
Yeah, or like like those porcelain angels that old women have on their shelves, like that.
Yes, I just pictured it. I saw it in my mind's eye.
I painted you a word picture.
Yeah, it was very beautiful and evocative.
Thank you. But anyway, she does a beautiful job. I just think that it's hard to follow. And maybe that doesn't bother some people. I don't know. I like to know what's going on in a program, but
yeah,
I don't think it mattered today in this particular competition because she did a really good job and she got a silver medal in an incredibly fucking deep field. So good for her. You love to see it.
Very proud of her. Cool.
And she's still so young. That's the other thing. It's only her second season and...
I know, we're so used to seeing her all the time because, like, she had such a busy season last season and now she's just, like, coming in right out the gate, again, super busy. So it feels like we've been seeing so much of her. But you're right, like, this is her second senior season.
All right, and in first place, winning the gold medal, shocking no one, is Miss Alexandra Trusova, the queen of the quads.
All right, is that what we're doing with that?
I didn't make that up. Someone said that on the internet.
I know.
I'm just going to say, I feel more positively towards her and towards this whole thing than I thought I ever would. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think it's more, I think part of it is, for me, has been outside of the competition, just like seeing her interact with
she's so freaking cute
everyone else. Yeah, she's very sweet. She's clearly having like a good time. Also just like seeing like the gala rehearsal footage with like her and Yuzu just like messing around and stuff. It like really humanizes her for me, which I think like part of what I've been trying to hash out for like 17 episodes is I struggle when I see like very like automated, technically polished, but like not connecting performance for me personally. And I think, like, seeing the human behind that just, like, really helps me across the board. And I'll talk about more about that later as well. But it's, like, something that, like, really helps me. It's like, oh, here she is. And, like, she has a puppy. And she likes messing around with everyone else in rehearsal. Like, it makes watching the incredible things she does more exciting for me.
Yeah, I mean, if we have a thesis statement of this podcast, it's, like, skaters are people. And that's our favorite thing.
That's why
we do social media corner. It's why we do plushy corner. It's like the parts where it makes the where they're people. That's like our favorite. So
yeah,
I like to see she's a person. And the reason her in particular is because God knows I worry about the girls from Sambo who can do incredible things but are in a training environment that from all accounts we've read is incredibly strict and can be really stressful, and not everybody has the personality to be able to like thrive in an environment that's insanely critical and high pressure and not super like nurturing, right? Like everybody needs something different, and young women don't always, or anybody doesn't always thrive in that environment. So I worry a lot about them and their mental health and their physical health and all that. Especially, you know, to hear Evgenia talk about her like training process post Sambo, she uses the word recovery constantly, like about her body. Which is troubling. So,
which is very scary. Like, it's great that she, this is just a tangent because we don't get to talk about Jenya this time, but just the fact that like her, like with moving and everything, she gets like the vocabulary to say words like recovery. Like, first of all, that's a very like non-Slavic way to look at your development. And secondly, like the fact that she's working through that for herself with like her regimen and the way she treats herself is just, I mean, I'm proud of her, but it also makes me feel weird about the rest of them.
Right. Yeah. And I'm less worried about Trusova, I think, than I am about, like, Sherbakova, because she seems, just based on what little we are able to see, and Lord knows, as spectators from a completely different side of the world, that's quite a little, just a tiny bit. Yeah. But she seems a little happier, a little less nervous. She seems, like, physically, she's, like, jacked. She's muscular. She seems like she's strong. And I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that that means that her body will hold up as she grows. You know, but then I look at Elizabeth Tursunbaeva, who literally has a six pack and is, like, broken at age 19. So, you know, and it's, like, the saddest thing. So, I don't know. But all this to say, I worry about her a little bit less. And she, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was like, happy to see her do a good job and win. I mean, once again, it's what I said last time. If I had never seen ice skating before and I saw her do jumps that were harder than the jumps other people were doing, I would be confused if she didn't win. And she did.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, this is right. I have a confession to make. I said it on Twitter. I'm going to repeat it. I struggled with her short program because I couldn't stop thinking about that thing that went around like a week ago, which was making the claim that Hall of the Mountain King sounds exactly like Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary had a little lamb.
Yeah, so like the entire time she was skating, I just had the words to Mary Had a Little Lamb stuck in my head. So I had a very hard time focusing. But that's on me and on the internet for memes.
Yeah, memes ruin lives. I like Sasha Trusova, and I have a lot of problems with regard to the things that surround her, but her in particular, I'm like, she's awesome. She can do incredible things, and she'll get better at certain things as she goes. I don't expect her to be a perfect skater at 15 or 16. Things that surround her, first of all, as we talk about our programs, we can talk about the fact that one of my biggest issues is that this is a skater who will go down in history, no question, for the incredible thing she's already done for the sport. She deserves to have costumes and music and choreography that show her off and highlight her. And instead, she has shit that makes her look like not as good as the others, that she's like kind of objectively better than at certain things. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world to me, that she, I mean, if you look at like Yuzuru Hanyu, he's the GOAT, and he has the sparkliest, prettiest, most extra costumes and the most expensive choreography and music. And it's like, for Sasha, it's like, okay, like, she needs to be, you know, come off a little more expensive.
See, the thing is, you're saying this as if money is not spent on her. Like, you're saying it as if there isn't money in, like, her costumes and her music and her choreo. It's just, there is money. It's not spent well.
It's an issue of taste, and artistic sophistication, which again we'll get to in a second. But the other thing I just want to say real quick is, as we were saying last week, we as human beings want to see a narrative, and a narrative that I think could be really exciting for this sport, especially in the women's, is like, okay, we have jump tech increased past where we thought was possible for women. I love to see that. And wouldn't it be fun to turn on the TV and say, in one corner, we have incredible jumper, not very artistic. She's very athletic. She's very like, boom, 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 boom. Let me rattle off these fucking ridiculous acrobatic things I can do. In another corner, we have like a Medvedeva, for example, who doesn't have those crazy jumps, but she's got like really excellent technique, artistry, maturity. Who will win? I want to turn it on and be on the edge of my seat to see who will win. Under this current scoring system, it is impossible for that to even be a contest. And that's the issue. Yeah. I want to see it be a contest.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's, well, not with the men as much. I mean, in there, it's more like basically everyone has a quad, so it's not as close. I mean, it's not as big of a thing, but there's still this thing of like, it is more exciting to me when I don't know, oh, we're just watching who's going to be second and third.
Yes. And it's like, say, okay, ice skating, it's like half athletics, half artistry. So if you go into that from like a strategic standpoint, you say, okay, I can either go in and be super balanced. I can go in and be super heavy on one side, or I can go in and be super heavy on the other side. And if this were a fair scoring system, all three of those would be like valid and interesting approaches, and it would be
it's different strategies, right?
That's this. I mean, we, Hanetta and I play Dungeons and Dragons, and if I was designing an RPG and there was one way that you could do that would beat every other way, it wouldn't be fun. It would be broken and people would complain on Reddit. So
that's why in a party you have people who are good at athletics and dexterity, which is like what Sasha does, and then you have someone who's good at like charisma and like magic, which I guess would be the PCS of Dungeons and Dragons.
See, I was gonna say Xenia's a bard because she has like she can tell a story and she's musical.
Oh my god, this is a bonus episode where we make characters based on figure skaters and we justify our choices.
That's fun, let's do it. Yeah, anyway, let's talk about her programs. So her short program is, it's a medley from
Peer... Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah, it's a Peer Gynt medley. I like Peer Gynt. I think it's cool. Hall of the Mountain King. Okay. I think choreography and music selection for Sasha Trusova is a hard needle to thread because she has... It's not big dick energy, but it's powerful energy. It's, she's like a little firecracker. Like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best illustration of this is our friend Jordan from On Ice Perspectives. Shout out to Jordan. He got to go to Skate Canada and take some awesome footage. He did a really cool little video with Sasha Trusova where she's just in her warm-up gear and her little like athletic clothes and just doing her little Sia program, which I think is a weird choice for her because it's a song about pretending to be tough when you're dying inside, which is a very depressing choice. And I don't
most think... of Sia's music is about like overcoming addiction and depression and stuff, and people are like, yes, we don't need like dollar bills, yes, chandelier. I'm like, this is so beyond the point of this.
Yeah, to choose that song for Sasha based on the fact that Sasha is unstoppable and unbeatable is the same as being like, that's like saying you think Chandelier is about how fun it is to go to a party. Like, it's like you're just not listening to... Okay, anyway, sorry.
Well, there's people like that, though. People will play that at a party and be like, yes, queen, we're swinging from a chandelier. Like, no. No. Read the words.
Well, certainly read the words if you're going to choreograph a piece for a child to it. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that Jordan took a really cool video of her, and up close, you can see she's an athlete and in her like little warm-up clothes, and she's going for it. It's like, like she's like hard hitting, very athletic. It was so cool to watch because I was like, this is what she does. She's an athlete. And so you've got to bring that energy. But if you give her anything too big in scale, it makes her look small and childlike because that's how she looks. And her artistry comes off as very childish. So, for example, Hall of the Mountain King. You say, okay, that's a piece that makes us think that's a kind of a imposing, big energy, loud, dramatic piece. So that goes with her energy. But careful, because we also think about big, burly men stomping around. I mean, that's what I think of when I hear that song.
See, I always think of, like, in, like, a comedy or something, if someone's sneaking around.
Yeah,
like
Looney
trying
Tunes.
To be stealthy. Like, it's very, like, that energy. It's, like, the classical music you put over, like, a Best American Home video kind of thing.
Yes. It's very...
So it's, like, one of those pieces which is, like, so cool in and of itself, but, like, because of the way it's been used in popular culture... It's, like, very hard for me to take it seriously at this point.
Well, yeah, we learned a lot. We talked about this all the time in graduate school about how when you're putting a piece of music to something, you need to consider the baggage that it has and the baggage that an audience is carrying in. So that's our cultural baggage around that song. It's big. It's got a big, big baggage. And Sasha Trusova is a small, small girl, and it's just going to dwarf her.
Mm.
So that's how I felt. I felt like the music kind of dwarfed her.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I thought the choreography, oh my god, Jesus Christ. That one moment where she's skipping and flapping her arms like a bird.
I'm so tired. I don't think anyone needs to hear us talk about Danilo Glycengalis every single week.
He doesn't deserve it.
Because it's the same thing. No, he does the same thing, and her commentary is going to be the exact fucking same until he does something else, so we can say something else.
And a bird can be good. I like Kazuki's bird moment. I like Adam Rippon's arrival of the birds. I think it just depends on how you do the bird thing. You know, what you're doing while you're flapping.
I want to do a program to that song, I'm Like a Bird, and just, like, stroke forward and do wings.
The whole time.
For, like, 3 minutes. Yeah, that's it. And I do, like, a woe single toe, and then I keep flapping. That's it.
I want to do a program to I'm Like a Bird, and I just kind of hop like a little bird. Sometimes I'll eat something off the ground.
Dip for water.
I'll, like, find a McDonald's bag and, like, dig through it. I'm thinking, like, I guess that's I'm like a pigeon in New York City.
You get it over your head and you get stuck for a little bit.
I'm just like, ah!
So, Game of Thrones.
This is the first program that I have seen her do that I actually thought was good for her.
Well, it was, shockingly not choreographed by Daniil.
I do think Atari, well, I don't, it's a similar style, so I don't think it's fantastic. I think she's a much better choreographer than Daniil.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it feels like he has been learning from her, so he's, like, picking up what she does, but she's obviously done it longer and probably better. And it's never my favorite style, but, like, it is more cohesive when it's Atari and not him.
I thought it's also the costume was a move in the right direction. So whereas the Hall of the Mountain King costume looks like something that a local mother made for her child who's participating in a church haunted house. also the costume change, I had to watch literally 4 times to catch it. It just is, it's like at least Anna's is a moment.
Yeah.
Sasha's is
because it's contrasty. Anna's is like, you go from like blue to red. This goes from like one shade of like acid wash gray and white to a different shade of acid wash like gray.
Oh, the bottom, the zigzag, the unhemmed zigzag. It doesn't stay down. It flaps the whole time. It's the audience didn't even clap when it happened because they didn't see it. Like it's
none of us saw it. Like I didn't. I was going to like message you like LOL, I missed it. And looking like I switched tabs to do that, and you'd already told me you missed it.
I had to watch like, 4 times to figure out when it happened. She's in a crouch, and it's when the music shifts, and it's almost like it's hidden. And it's like, yeah. Are we supposed to miss it? I don't like that.
Yeah, is it like in Legally Blonde where they like all surround her while she's doing a costume change? So it's like, I'm just wearing different clothes, and it's not like a watch me change clothes. Like, I don't know.
But the free skate from far away was a good look because it looked designed and it didn't look like it came from Halloween City pop-up store that popped up next to the Chipotle in the mall parking lot, you know? It looked like someone designed it. Up close, it looks like someone didn't do a good job designing it because there's weird leather flaps, there's awful, disgusting airbrushing. I don't like airbrushing ever, 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 ever. And Game of Thrones, the costume design is so impeccable.
So stunning. Yeah.
So if you're doing that reference, I mean, you gotta be. But it's a beautiful color on her. Can we talk about the tights? Tell me what
I do like the tights. I know that might be shocking based on my past history with everything I've ever said. I like her tights as a concept. I like the idea of colorful tights. It reminds me of, like, when Liza Tukhtomysheva or Sasha Fagin or someone does a statement glove. It's interesting because it's one of those parts of the body that we usually get either in a nude or in black, and that's it. So that's exciting to me. The execution is not exciting to me. First of all, because she has her cool skates, which I'm going to let you talk about. Her skates are beige. And then when you pull this, like, bluish gray on top of them, it just looks weird when it's halfway. I wish it was covered halfway. Like, tights halfway over skates is never good. Ever. 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 Not in a million years. Also, you can see her, like, lighter nude bunga pads under her skates, under her tights. And it just makes her entire, like, ankle situation look bulky. And I'm sad about it because otherwise I'm super into the idea of like a bluish gray tight.
Yes, I agree. I like the colorful tights. I feel like we as a society are still figuring them out. And that's fine. I would like to suggest pull them all the way down. And I do love the beige skates. I love beige skates on anyone. And I think for her in particular, I think it's a very good choice because she's so in the public eye that it's like a thing that sets her apart. And also it's kind of, if I'm going to get like gender studies about it, I think because the white skates are so iconically feminine that for her to be like, I'm doing what the boys do, it's cool that she's also got like a different colored skate. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I figured out what I actually want to see from Sasha musically. I want her to have what Rika Kihira had with her beautiful storm piece, which is a piece where it was not a super well-known song. I just want Sasha to do a song that's not from a movie or a TV show or a very well-known thing because it has so much baggage and she can't carry that baggage. I want her to have a program that feels like a big girl program and it's a piece of music that is a little more of a deep cut and the audience isn't going to come into it with expectations. They're just going to watch her skate to a piece of music. That's what I want to see from her.
Yeah, I think I would be excited to see her work towards is not, and we've talked about this before, kind of not having to rely that much on like a song we know or a character we know to perform, because she is very good at what she does. So I don't need her to be like, oh, this is my cosplay, or oh, this is the song you all know is big and like imposing. It could just be her with any music. Also, for whatever it's worth, powerful does not need to be an antonym for feminine. She could be both.
Yeah, so, you're so right. Think about that, me. Did I just bring my own fucked up internal shit into this podcast? Maybe.
I mean, we all have that.
I think that it's not a bad idea to say this is a child who doesn't really know how to like emote or be super graceful or super ethereal on ice. So why don't we give her a character and then she can work on it and do the homework and watch the movie or whatever. It's not a bad idea, but she's not living up to these larger than life characters. And now she kind of is one because we've sort of made her into one and for good reason. So let her be her. I completely agree with you. I want to see Sasha Trusova on ice. I don't want to see Beatrice Kiddo or the alien from The Fifth Element or, you know, Daenerys Targaryen, even though she does a cute job with it. Like, I want to see Sasha Trusova out there. I think that would be cool. Yeah.
Also, you know what? I just realized I do this with my younger students. I teach a group which is like 6 and 7 year olds. And every year we start with like, come out here and act out your favorite cartoon character and we're all gonna guess who it is or shit like that. And kids will like, you know, a little girl will spin and pretend she's like throwing ice and be Elsa from Frozen or like whatever. But then like 2 months later, when they get to like make their own shit, it gets so much more exciting because kids are imaginative and they can come up with things and they understand storytelling in a way that like adults don't. And I think like someone who's like 14 or 15 still has that in them. So I think like her coaches and her team shouldn't like underestimate her and be like, oh, this is easier. Let's just let her be, you know, fucking Bella Swan or like whatever. because kids are fucking cool at storytelling and she could like work with anything, I'm pretty sure.
The other thing I'm realizing is that a couple of moments of choreography and the general costume aside, it's all deep cuts from Game of Thrones. It's not the theme. It's like kind of more ambient music. And Ramin Djawadi is one of my favorite composers. I think he does amazing shit for that show and for other stuff. It's beautiful music. And so if she were given a more generic, like, fantasy costume, but not a specific character, she could do that with this program. And it could be, like, this piece I'm channeling, you know, Arya's assassin, whatever. And then this part I'm going to be a dragon lady and this part I'm going to be a White Walker. Like, I think that could be more fun for her to – but maybe that's in a couple of years she can get there. I'm not sure. But regardless, you know, we like her. She's cute. She does incredible shit. It's, you know, if the scoring system was better, it would maybe be more interesting to see if anyone could beat her. Now it's like, no one can. She's great.
Yeah. All of that. Agreed. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be like, you know, a podcast that's just like consistently like, fuck a Terry and her skaters. We don't hate them. Like, I think they're great. I like watching them. I really do. I just like, you know.
Yeah. I think it's just about, I just miss getting excited and like not excited, like surprised by a podium and with the way scoring is now. And it's not even on a Tarian, like her weird methods. It's on the scoring system. Like, I can't be surprised. So I miss that.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Natasha's great. In boys, there's always those skaters who are always going to win too. But
I feel like with boys, though, it's like,
well, with boys,
I feel like with boys, it's never about, oh, he just happens to have this one jump. Because most of them, like excluding like Jason, and that's it. Everyone has a bunch of quads and all of that. Like, obviously, like, Nathan and Yuzu, like, we know that, like, if they're at an event, like, something has to go very weird for them to not win, either one of them. Unless it's the two of them against each other, in which case it's exciting. But even then, it's like, oh, yeah, they have all of those jumps. They also have everything else. Because the way they're scored is kind of more evened out, I guess.
Exactly. Like, if you want to really say in a vastly oversimplified way that if you put Nathan and Yuzu up against each other as like the two top guys right now, right? Nathan has maybe like more consistently a higher number of reliable quads that have a higher base value, and maybe his artistry is not your cup of tea, or maybe his transitions aren't as crazy complicated. Yuzu always puts on the most amazing, breathtaking, ridiculous, like transported to another realm kind of show. And maybe he pops a quad cell, or maybe he has like a cheeky landing out of his quad loop or something. And so
that's... spread eagles out of a triple axel when you think that that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, like they just have... they're two amazing people. And the question is, whose style is going to win that day? I would love to see that in women's, but we're not seeing that right now.
Yeah, that's basically what I was getting at.
Yes. And all the top girls are from the same school. So it's like, if the two comparable girls were like, you know, Sasha and Anna, it's like, okay, they kind of do the same thing. So I don't really care who wins. I mean, it's kind of the
same. Yeah, but no. I know what you mean. Like, yeah.
Well, whatever. We'll talk about... Like, we joke a lot about Atari, and I actually do think she's, like, maybe evil, but, you know, I think her kids are cute, so.
Yeah, that's basically it. Do we want to shout out to anyone else who wasn't on the podium?
Yeah, I need to shout out Zhenya. Jesus Christ, that was heartbreaking. That the Lutz heard around the world with the fucking, oh my god.
It looked so scary. I'm not going to indulge in what half the internet was doing and, like, catastrophizing about it, because here's the tea. It is part of their job, and what they commit to is the potential for failure, and that is okay. Like, people on like Twitter were like, oh my god, I thought she wasn't going to get up, and like whatever, which we know she's stronger than that, and unless it's like a real like physical incapability, which like God forbid, like knock on wood, etc., of course she was going to get up and finish her fucking program, because that's her job. And that's what she's trained to do. And she's... I know we joke about Liza's, like, fighter and will return thing. But, like, Zhenya's a fighter. Like, she fought through this program, which was not strong across the board. Because she's stronger than that program was. That's what I want to say about that.
Yeah, yeah. It just felt, like, frustrating. Because one got the sense, just from sort of Brian's reaction and everything... they were both sort of like tearing up in the kiss and cry. Like they just couldn't believe it, because it just seemed like that was just a fluke for her. It was just like she always gets the Lutz. I mean, you know, is it a Lutz or a Flutz or a whatever? We don't know with Zhenya. But like, you know, the fall, I think, was very surprising. And you know, in the replays, you could see on her face, she was just pissed. Like immediately, she was just like, oh, like just a stupid mistake.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so it was so heartbreaking to see. But her free was stunning. She came back. It was like I was crying. She did a beautiful job. And, you know, it is what it is.
I'm just very proud of her because she's proven, like, time and time again that she can bounce back from something like that. And that free skate proved it. And, I believe so deeply in her and, like, in the rest of her season, because I know that she works well with a bit of having something to prove a little bit.
Yeah, and I also really admire her most of all because, well, she gave that interview that kind of circulated like right before the ladies' short program about
Oh, yeah.
her life in Canada. It's her second year in Canada and all this stuff and how her training regime has changed and her nutrition. And she gave that one quote that went around that I loved where she was just talking about how she's like, I don't like these narratives of me versus Alina or me versus Sasha or, you know, just let it be me versus me because that's what I think about. And also, like,
Yeah.
she was roommates with Sasha when they were training together. She, the two of them, you know, Sasha said like she's like a, you know, an older friend or an older sister who, you know, gave her advice, and that's Jenny is the one who gave her poodle tissue case for the what the Makuchin from Yuri on
Yeah,
Ice.
it's the
It's so
Makuchin.
cute. And I oh, when Jinya clapped for Sasha when she landed her quad in practice, like just these little things where it's like people want to make it a big contest, but at the end of the day, they're friends, and that makes me as a fan feel much better going into
Yeah,
it too.
there was like that one video circulating as well from like the drill for the short program where it's like Xenia like sitting down looking at something and like Sasha's just like at her shoulder looking like at her phone with her. It just reminded me of like the way like I'm not gonna ascribe like the opposite of that and be like, oh my God, they're like sisters because like we don't know. But like it reminded me of like how me and my younger sister communicate is just like sharing space and just like being close physically to each other and not like making it a big thing. So it was like this like little moment of like, oh, Sasha is like this younger kid who's like, oh my God, let me look at your phone. You got games on there.
Yeah, no, that's I got sisterly from it too. I mean, just for the same reasons, I think. And Jenya's always been such a champion of them and saying, you know, gosh, when I was their
Yeah.
age, I came in and did crazy stuff and won everything too. It's what happens. So
Yeah.
good for her.
Yeah, so like let women and girls be friends and also very strong competitors against each other. Yeah, that's all I want to say. Do we have any other? Well, Marin kind of, but we already mentioned it. She had a very traumatizing beginning of the competition with like the fender bender and everything. And then she skated out gorgeously and performed so very well. And I'm just glad she's okay and that she, despite everything, was like performed really well in a very strong field.
Sorry, I'm like, is fender bender, is that, what does that mean? Because in my head it means like a crash, but
It is.
is it, it's a crash. Okay. I realized after I was like, does that mean like a light tap? Because it seems like it was worse than that, and I don't want to like minimize it.
Yeah, I think it means like the car was not totaled, but it was like scary.
Right. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea. I just,
I'm a non-native speaker. I don't know why
right.
you're asking me.
Well, no, I think car lingo is a regional thing, and I don't, now I'm like, oh my God, people are gonna think that like I'm minimizing the damage, but
No,
okay.
we like talked about it at length. I feel like we're gonna be fine.
All right, so shall we take a break to hear from our sponsors?
Yeah, cut here.
Boop-a-doop, boop-boop. All right,
Welcome to the middle of the show.
welcome to the middle
Oh my
of the
God,
show. I have a
you have a
story.
story?
I do.
Please, I'm listening.
My story is that the other night my mom came up to me in the kitchen and she was like, I tried to sign up via thing, and I went on and it asked me what country I was from for tax purposes. So I said I tried to say United States, but I hit Uruguay by mistake, and then it wouldn't let me continue. So I don't know. Can I just give you $7?
I love your mom.
That's not how she talks. I don't know why I did
Yeah,
that.
I have met your mother. This is not what she sounds
But that's what she sounds like to me in my head. So.
like. I appreciate this like sketch version of your mom that you have for the purposes of this.
You could be like my mom.
And mail Megan $7 in the mail.
Or you could just use a computer correctly and actually you do our Patreon the correct way.
Yeah, you could do the Patreon the correct way, and we would be deeply appreciative of that. Very unironically and genuinely. I know it seems like just like a nice thing to say, but the support we get on Patreon literally makes this easier on just like the technical end of things. So thank you guys so very much. If you do want to join the group of people who are not Megan's mom, that I'm appreciative of. Megan, where, how?
Okay, so there's this thing called Patreon, and it allows you to give us a very small amount of money each month, and in return, you get goodies. So you can do that by going to patreon.com/iced tea pod. And you can read all about the different levels of giving there and the stuff you get in return. We're about to record a bonus episode right after this for the $7 donors, and it's going to be really fun. So if you want access to bonus stuff, you can check us out there. Or if you want to do something that is free, you can give us 5 stars and a nice review, or a nice review or 5 stars, you know, mix and match.
Yeah, I just want to say we've been getting like a lot of nice comments like across the internet from like people recommending the pod to like other people, and like someone like tagged us in one of those posts on Reddit. So
oh my God, that was so cute. Like, we love that. I like was so stoked about that. It like made my whole week.
Yeah, same. It made me very happy. So thank you so much, so very much. If you do want to, like, if this is something you're compelled to do, the easiest, absolute easiest way to, like, just spread the word and tell your friends is, as Megan said, giving us five stars and maybe leaving a review on Iced Tea Podcast page on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever the purple podcasting icon is on your phone. For some insane reason, this is just, like, how the algorithm works, and that's what matters to the computers. So do let them know that you enjoy what we make.
Yeah, you like figure skating, so I know that a number, numerical, mathematical system that doesn't make any sense is not a deterrent for you.
Yeah, this is the weird PCS we have to battle, so bump it up for us.
Yeah, cool. That's it, right? I mean, do we have other announcements? Next week is going to be really fun because Netta is going physically in their fucking flesh prison to the actual International de France in the real France.
I am going to real France. I'm
definitely going to pretend France.
I'm going to real France by myself. Yeah, this is my first time. I'm not one of those people who can just, you know, travel to the Cup of China or something. So, like, every single competition. So this is very exciting for me, and it's my first time. And also, if you're listening to this the day it drops, this episode, this one, this very one, I will have arrived in France a couple hours ago. At me on Twitter if you're here. Let me know. Let's meet up.
Slide into Netta's DMs so you can get...
Don't do that. Just do it. Do it publicly, please. Just in case I get murdered.
Keep it above board, but like y'all could have croissants together and talk about Kevin Amos. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for listening to us talk about stuff that is not ice skating. We'll start with the ice skating again now.
Oh, who's that at the door? Look, it's Canadian correspondent Daniel.
Hi, this is Daniel, the official Iced Tea Pod Canadian correspondent, reporting to you live from Toronto.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
How are you doing? How's Canada?
I'm great. It's great. It's cold. I'm wearing pants. I'm not wearing skates. It's a great day.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. So, Daniel, we want to hear it straight from a Canadian. What happened over the...
What happened?
You mean Skate Canada? Is that what we're talking about? Well, there was Nick Nadeau, which, I mean, he's my husband. I would tap him and suck out the sap like a maple tree. You know, I'd climb him like one too.
He's about the size of one.
He is. He's like 6'3", isn't he? Great size. Yeah,
he's a big boy.
Yeah, Megan was saying when you were talking that it's weird seeing a full-sized man on the ice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're used to little manlets, and then our eyes get like accustomed to it.
I gotta ask, how do you feel about his free skate, like, budget bondage costume situation?
I'm a little offended you call it budget bondage. I thought it was very chic. I really liked it.
All right.
I think it's problematic to imply that only rich people can do bondage correctly. Let everybody do it.
I'm so sorry. I'm showing my bondage privilege. No, it just...
Canceled.
Yeah, thank you. I love getting canceled.
I like it. I think the top is really nice. I think the pants are a little safe. I think the top could use a little more flash. There's a little more something to be desired, maybe in the cuffs or in the... or in the sleeves, just something a little more sexy, I think, is what you need to pull off a Depeche Mode program.
I will say I do think it's a very weird Depeche cut. It just kind of, it felt to me like someone went to like the, you know, Spotify gives you like the, this is Depeche Mode kind of like thing, and then just like starts clicking. Like it didn't.
I felt very edged by the thing where it was like, doo-doo, and then it didn't give me reach out and touch me. I want to hear about your thoughts about the belly flop heard around the world.
The belly flop heard around the world. Nick Nadeau, if any of you don't know, he executed a triple flip. It was okay. It was one of those ones where Jackie Wong tweets, hangs on, and he sort of scraped one foot and he got really excited. He landed it and he absolutely ate Jack garbage onto the ice. Just absolutely like tier one belly flopped into the ice. Like literally. You guys need to see this clip if you haven't seen all of Skate Canada. It's magnificent. It's a it's a moment in Canadian history that we're not likely to forget anytime soon. It was momentous.
You know when he went into the kiss and cry and he was like, "Je got so excited about the triple flip and je go boom." Like that's what
yeah, je execute le triple flip and then je go boom. That was basically what he said.
Is that what Quebecois sounds like to you?
My way. That's
oh my god, I'm so happy we got Nick Nadeau on our podcast.
Oh god.
What else do we want to ask about?
Oh my god, fucking what? Skate Canada silver champion, the sweet, sweet boy himself, Nam Nguyen for Canada.
Yeah. That was, for me, the Canadian moment of Skate Canada. It was amazing to see all this psychological Winnie the Pooh warfare from Yuzuru Hanyu coming in. Because he's usually the last scare, so it's fine. Yeah. But Nam was after him this time. So I and all of us watching were a bit worried. What's he going to do with all of this coming on right before he skates? And, you know, he came in looking, we didn't know what was going to happen. And then he starts and he takes all of that crowd energy and channels it into his own performance. Yeah. And it was really a beautiful moment to see. It was amazing. If you saw, the tech score just went up and up and up, and he had so much crowd interaction, and it was really great. I was bawling at the end. I was full on, like, it's a Beatles medley, which we know yeah. I hate.
Yeah, me too. I will say I watched it at work today because I was hiking when it happened, and I found myself tearing up to Let It Be, and it transported me to a time when I was 14 and dating a boy for the first time. I did not enjoy that, but he truly took me there. I do want to say that Canadian crowds are like some of my favorite when it comes to watching figure skating, because the home crowd just support for every single one of the Canadian skaters this weekend was so cool. And I feel like that really helped Nam, because it was Yuzu's whole thing and then just switched the second he was on.
Even during the introductions when they first came out, Yuzu got his thunderous applause and then Nam got kind of almost a bigger reaction. Yeah, which was great.
The Canadian crowd did not come to play. They were really supportive. It was really great.
Canadians are awesome. I know we had you on before we started the Grand Prix, and we did a lot of predictions, all of which are fucking burned to the ground at this point. How are you feeling now, almost halfway through? What has changed?
Yeah, Daniel, I know you said in our episode that we did with you that if Trusova beat Medvedeva, you were gonna, I believe you said, hurl yourself into the ocean. So how are you breathing right now underwater?
Well, I'm reporting to you live from Toronto off the shore of Lake Ontario. So I'm 20 feet deep right now. If you can hear, it's a little cold, there's a little bit of shrinkage going on, but I'm living.
We're glad to hear you hanging on and fighting in the great tradition of Evgenia.
Love her.
All right, do you have any final thoughts?
Give us your predictions for the rest of this.
For the rest of this. I think Young Yu will make the final.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us and giving us your Canadian opinion.
Of course, I have to go back to my new life under the sea.
We just got a 10 for transitions from the Canadian judge.
Men!
Men, do you want to talk about your boy Camden?
I do want to talk about my boy Camden. Oh my god, this is a Peter shout out, so we're not going to get into it, much as it pains me. Camden fucking Pokinen has a quad toe now, which is reliable and gorgeous, and it looks so good. And he, according to the internet, and me, is a real danger now. He was fucking second in the short, right?
Yeah.
He was second in the short program under only two-time OGM Yuzuru Hanyu, who praised him so hard in the press conference. It was so cute. Yuzu just going off about like how Cam's EXO is like so beautiful and powerful, and Camden looking shell-shocked next to him.
I think it's so cute. It was like a little bit like what Young Yu was doing for Rika, but like times a million. I think it's so cute when like more young up-and-coming skaters are like totally starstruck in front of the more like decorated established skaters. It's just like, it never gets old for me. I think it's cute.
Yeah, it just shows like the respect they have for each other is very sweet to me. And also just like Camden, I don't think he expected this to go the way it did. And just, it's his first like official senior season, and he had this very cute post after where he was like, everyone welcome senior Camden. I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Also, his sleeves for his free skate costume are so pretty. The entire costume is pretty. I can't wait for him to podium somewhere so I can like properly talk about it, but the sleeves are so cute. That's all I have to say. Megan, I'm just gonna let you do this.
Okay, listen, let me pour myself a glass of wine, light up a cigarette. No, just kidding. I don't like wine or cigarettes. I don't know why I said that. But this is our time, Fanakas. So,
oh my god, you all have a name now?
I'm trying to make Fanakas happen. I apologize if it's already been invented by someone else, but KG Fuckers just doesn't have the same ring. So, and I'm keeping that in. I don't fucking care. So,
I support you so hard.
Okay, listen. I went into this season thinking KG Tanaka, light of my life, fire of my loins, is a beautiful man and he has fantastic taste in anime, but is he a contender? I don't know. He comes out, he wins the US Classic. I say, wow, good for him. He's got a gold in a Challenger Series. I don't know how that's going to fare when he's up against, you know, Hanyu and all them, but, you know, good for him. Okay. My man has a fucking bronze medal at a Grand Prix event. And yeah, he did that sans quads in his short program. And sans, I think, I forget exactly what he did in the free. I was too busy looking at the television screen like a cartoon wolf. Like, I mean, I get like very, I have like a really gross like predator face on while I'm watching him. It's like, I'm glad that I'm not being filmed during that time of my life. My designated FBI agent watching me through my webcam is like, is she okay?
But anyway. Do you want me to tell you real quick what he did? I'm opening up the protocols.
He did the thing he always fucking does with that combo. He did that last year too. It's like he gets too close to the wall with the first jump and then he has to like downgrade the second one. He does it a lot. But all this. Learn something from this. I have never yelled at a Japanese Olympian like this. So he also was recovering from a car accident, and he did all of this, and he still got bronze. Now, do I think he was disappointed he didn't get silver? Yes. Do I think he could have maybe gotten silver if he had done all of his planned jumps and everything and had not been, like, maybe concussed? Yeah, it's possible, but I'm still extremely proud of him, and like I said, with Vincent pulling out of the Cup of China, he's absolutely a medal contender. So if Keiji Tanaka makes the motherfucking Grand Prix final, I'm knocking on wood right now, I'm gonna lose my absolute marbles.
I would be so very happy for you and for them.
It's funny, I felt like it was kind of the opposite of the US Classic, where I felt like Hip Hip Chin Chin was like on, and Sherlock, I was a little bit like, I'm not sure what the concept is here. I felt like the short at Skate Canada was a little off. He didn't seem to be, like, feeling his fantasy as much.
Yeah.
And with the Free, I do feel like it clicked. I felt like I understood the choreo, which is Kenji Miyamoto. I felt like I got it. He had all the little moments, all the little gestures. I felt like I got the story. He's like a sassy, fun detective. It's a little cheeky. It's, I loved it. I thought it was great. That's what
and
I have
was,
to say.
There was, we did see a different Sherlock in the same Free Skates. Yeah, Brendan has the Hans Zimmer Sherlock Holmes as well. So it was fun to kind of compare Sherlock's. And it's very charming as well. He's very cute.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, this was one of the best skating competitions of my fucking life because I got to see Keiichi Tanaka on a podium. And we will talk about the podium antics because they were delightful. But I was just pleased as punch.
I'm so happy for you and for him. Mostly for you.
Yeah, this is a bigger deal for me than it is for him. Let's be honest. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, this is so important for Skate Twitter. No, but seriously, I always enjoy watching him. And I think, like, because I know he's, like, one of your very, very, very favorites, I always have this, like, thing of, like, oh, my God, I'm watching Megan's Guy! So, like, that makes it more fun for me as well.
Yeah, and speaking of personal favorites, I feel like Nam, I mean, we both love Nam, but I also, like, this is another, like, oh, my God. This is something I didn't predict, but I was so happy to see. In second place, silver medal, Nam Nguyen.
Nam Nguyen, I am so very proud of him. Jesus Christ. Like, you know I stand always. He just came in so strong. He was third in the short program, and I was like, oh my God, can you believe this is incredible? And then he just kept fighting so hard. And he just looks like he's matured and he understands the way he should be on ice. And he's so good with an audience. I think it's okay to say it. He just looks so very hot when he's like doing the whole thing and like buying into his own fantasy in both programs. It's just so good.
He's a flirt. Like, he's a flirt on ice. Yeah. Like,
I was thinking about it. I think I said something similar about like Jimmy Ma last year or someone. It's the thing people do where he knows he's going to show you something and he's just inviting you in and just like winking at the entire audience the entire time.
Yeah, he pulls it off so well.
I love that energy on like anyone. It's just so good.
I didn't realize that Kurt Browning was one of the choreographers on his Beatles medley, but I think that's a really good fit for him because Kurt Browning is like, he's the greatest showman.
this is the greatest show.
I think it's a great fit for Nam's personality on ice too. It's so fun and charming and like a timeless way. And I'm sorry, but in a season of Blues for Klooks, Nam's Blues for Klook is the one.
Superior. Yeah.
It's superior because it's sexy. It's like dirty.
Yeah, it makes me wanna be drinking like a whiskey.
It makes me wanna
like talking to someone at like a dim bar.
I don't know who Klook is, but I'm, like, ready to slide into his DMs after that one, you know?
Yeah, basically. Something I want to say about his free skate is, because it's a medley, he switches, like, the emotion that he should be portraying throughout, like, so well. Like, he starts out, like, so engaged with the audience and just, like, riling them up. And it's, like, fun and flirty and, like, everything we said. And when it goes slow and it, like, moves into a ballad, he's just so contained and, like, focused, and it goes, like, capital R romantic, and then it pops off again, and it just, like, works.
My one qualm with that is the Beatles are a band with a massive catalog. Why on fucking earth does every Beatles medley legally have to include fucking Come Together and JoJo was a man who thought he was alone? Those two songs suck. They suck, especially the JoJo one. I hate it so much.
I can't
much.
Speak to that.
Do people like that song? I love know. Many Beatles songs. I really do. That one gives me hemorrhoids. I hate it more than I could possibly ever say. Anyway, I need to, can we have a 45-minute moderated debate about whether the intended position of that chain was connected to the collar or hanging free like a bolo tie?
I think at the very top of the program, it was off the side of his tie and going up to one of the tips of his collar, like a side chain, and then it popped off the collar and was only hanging on to his tie. And it is a real chain. It didn't look like plastic or anything. So I was so very scared while he was spinning with his teeth out. I was terrified I was just going to nick him in a tooth.
Well, I was watching this with my mom because she only wants to watch Yuzu and Nam.
Your mom is so very valid.
She only wants to watch Yuzu, and then Nam came on after, and my mom actually loves Nam. Like, she thinks she maintains that he is the cutest internationally competitive male figure
skater. Remember when you told him that?
I told him that, and I told my mom I told him that. I was like, Mom, I told him that you think he, and he was excited, and she was like, oh, that's so nice. Anyway.
Megan, I'm sorry, you're going to have to redo that. That's not what your mom sounds like on this podcast.
Oh, that's so nice. That's what she sounds like on this podcast. This is going to be like the one she listens to and is like, what? yeah, so she loved it. But I asked her, I was like, Mom, you were around when the Beatles like first went on Ed Sullivan and shit. Like, did any of them ever have like a pierced collar with a chain? And she was like, no. She says no to that. So I'm not sure what the visual reference would have been in that case.
Other than this chain, Nam would be testing me even more because he is wearing a very deep jewel-toned button-up with a tie. As if he is going to sing fucking Giants in the Sky at his junior recital. But the fact that he has given me this chain makes it all like rock and roll, and I'm here for it. I just wish we didn't have to do the Nam Nguyen wardrobe malfunction watch every damn season, because it's always something. It's always something on one of his button-ups which goes bad.
It's true, but in his defense, there may have been a wardrobe malfunction-inducing ghost in the arena, because in the same event, we had a costume mishap from our gold medalist, Yuzuru Hanyu of Japan, also had a ripped sleeve. And I actually was texting Nada, like, right before we recorded this, Satomi Ito, his costume designer, on her Instagram story, put, like, a funny thing up of, like, her emotional journey watching him have the ripped costume. She's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, surprising no one, the GOAT himself, Yuzuru Hanyu taking gold, but it's his first Skate Canada gold. He got two Olympic gold medals, many world championships, and then
not a single Skate Canada until like 2 days ago. It was funny, like in the kiss and cry when he's like analyzing what he did and what he didn't do, and Brian's like, I think you might have won your first Skate Canada. It was kind of fun because he obviously has bigger medals in his little collection.
Yeah, I mean, so as far as, like, talking about Yuzu's performance, it always transports me to a different place. It's always beautiful. Yeah. It's always stunning. I forget that I'm watching a formulaic list of elements that I'm supposed to be ticking off mentally, and I just am watching a piece of art. I mean, that's a given. I think that the biggest red letter moment for Yuzu from Skate Canada for me was we got to see human Yuzu again, and that's what we've been saying we want to see, and we got to see it, and it was glorious.
You know what? We can talk about both of those programs until the cows come home. We've seen them many, many times. Know them, love them. Beautiful, gorgeous, Jeffrey Buttle, Shailen Bourne, stunning. What I cared about was halfway through his step sequence in the short program, you could just see his face switch.
He smiled.
He smiled and he was into it, having fun. I'm not saying that, like, towards the end of last season, he was, like, withdrawn or, like, anything, like, emotionally. He was, like, not doing well. And he was, like, really just pushing himself. It's made me so fucking happy to see him have fun with what he's doing. Because he is incredibly, measurably good at everything he does. So seeing him enjoy that is just fucking joyful for me. And just makes me happy as someone who's never going to do 0.5% of what he does. It's just great to see him have fun.
Yeah, he's just, like, such a lovable character. And, like, you just hate to see him stressed out. You know, it's... Yeah. Especially considering all he's already achieved, you want to see him have fun with it. You know, he's earned that. So to see him really, like, get into the performance, that's, like, the priceless thing for me.
there's like this moment where he, it's after one of the jumps, I don't remember which one off the top of my head, but he does like a fan kick and then like a this like nasty heel drag, which is like just like the most like human part of all of this like flying around, and he does like a almost full stop with like the heel scraping. It is perfect. It's my favorite part of this. Again, because it shows me like the person playing around behind like the fairy elf prince flying.
I just want to say I miss the old costumes. I'm sorry. Like, okay. I think that New Origins is beautiful. I think it's equally beautiful as Old Origins. And my preference for Old Origins is a taste thing. Yeah.
My friend Yana has this entire story based on Daniel Wan. She thinks he looks like a vampire prince.
I think he looked more like a vampire prince with Old Origins, and in New Origins, he looks like a widow who, like, answers the door to the police in a beautiful robe and is like, my husband is dead? This is the first I'm hearing of this. It couldn't be me. But it's beautiful. I hate the fact that the thing I hate about the New Origins is the fact that the deep V is like airbrush ombre into black, and it looks like he has like a very dense thicket of black chest hair. But like, just I hate it so much. The thing I hate about New Otoniel is the airbrushing. Again, I hate airbrushing. It's never good. It's always bad. And the way the airbrushing is on the sleeves looks like the way that my veins look because I'm super pale, and I don't want to see that. I hate it. I think the old one was better, and I hope that Satomi Ito takes this as God telling her that she's corrected a problem that didn't need to be corrected.
Yeah, agreed.
But that's all. I want to talk about the men's victory ceremony because it was the most joyful victory ceremony I've ever seen. Some victory ceremonies are like someone's salty, someone's crying, someone's pretending to be happy, or the people don't know each other or speak the same language and it's awkward. This was a victory ceremony where Yuzu was pleased as punch because he finally did at least mostly as good as he wanted to. He's a big perfectionist, but he seemed happy with his performance and his scores. He was happy he won his first Skate Canada. He was up there with his two bros. He and Nam go way back from Nam's cricket days. Obviously, KG and Yuzu have been training together forever. Not training together, but like competing alongside
each other. Yeah, they're in the same team, basically.
Exactly, that's what I mean. And so it was just fun to see like Nam kind of taking the piss out of Yuzu and doing like, you know, putting his flowers on his head. And
I will say it was so entertaining to me to watch KG try to be the most dignified out of the three of them on that podium. Because Yuzu and Nam were both just like giggly and just happy and clearly just like not caring about being poised a lot on this podium. And KG is just like, I need to be strong for the sake of this ceremony.
I know. When gets the feeling really that funny. KG's used to being like the sort of mature person in the room and like the adult in the room. And it was just funny because first of all, we forgot to say before that right after Yuzu skated and right before Nam went out, they shared a hug and it was so cute.
It was a
way of saying like, yeah, okay, it's gonna be hard to skate after you, but also we're friendos, let's hug it out. Oh, and somebody handed out flower crowns. Okay, well, but let's first things first, there was another podium wedding where basically Yuzu and Nam high-fived, and then Yuzu went to high-five KG and he left him hanging, and then Yuzu was like, he put his hand on his hip and was very like, oh, what, I'm not good enough for you? And then KG kind of put his arm out like, oh, what, do you want to have a podium wedding with me? And then they kind of like had a cheeky like, ha ha ha, we're having a podium wedding moment. And it was just cute. Yeah. It's just the kind of like stupid like joshing around that you like to see.
Oh, also Yuzu just like making a show out of jumping onto the podium.
He always does that. That's like his thing.
Yeah, but like this one was like he like prepped for it and jumped, and then he said something. I tried to lip read, but he said something like, that's high, or something like something to the effect of like, oh, this is a tall jump. Just stupid boys.
Yeah, well, and then they got flower crowns, and Nam was so fucking excited to get the flower crowns, and then he gave Yuzu his flower crown, and then he tried to give Keiji his, and then Yuzu, like, his knees buckled, and he, like, pointing and laughing like the fucking kid from The Simpsons, like, ha-ha, at Keiji at the idea of him wearing a flower crown. It was, like, just, like, fun. I just love seeing friends be friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt like a good ending to their event. God, this is exciting. Do we want to shout out more boys?
Have you heard the good word? Have you heard the good word of spin? Spin base value zero, GOE zero? Girlfriend Lazukina has given us a gift.
My sweet, sweet, sweetest boy, Andrei Lazukin.
He does a quad lutz and it's fine. And it's just like low-key, just like the hardest jump. It's fine. But then he gave us something so much more beautiful, which was just spin.
Base value zero, GOE zero. Listen, it happens to the best of us.
I have never in my life encountered a bigger, more relatable mood than spin, base value zero, GOE zero.
I can't wait to go skating again and film one of my very mediocre spins just so I can caption it, spin, base value zero, GOE zero.
Finally, something that we can all do. You know, it's like, this is, you know what it was? It was like, you know, in like old workout videos where it'd be like, and Tina on the left is doing a version that people at home can try.
Andre is Tina on the left.
Andre is Tina on the left showing us that at home we can try spin. Base value zero, GOE zero. This has been spin. Base value zero, GOE zero.
My favorite segment of all time.
Finally, I need to talk about Sunshine Boy number one, Latvian Prince 5 ever, Denis Vasiliev's vest situation.
Yeah. Well, listen, he had a beautiful costume in the short program, which we've talked about, and is beautiful and gorgeous. So they can't all be winners.
No, they sure can't. This was, I believe, from the same planet as Stefan's Four Seasons many a year ago. The fashion trends have moved forward on Mars or wherever the fuck that was from, but it's still recognizably not of this realm.
It's so distinctly the same designer as his, like, peasant knight costume from last year.
Peasant knight?
Not the yellow pants, the outer one.
It's peasant night. Peasants get in for free. No cover.
Thank God. Let's go to the club. Yeah, no. See, the thing is, because I didn't watch the Free Skates live, I had seen the tweets about it, but I hadn't seen a video or pictures. So I was like, whatever. How bad could it be? People were always overdramatic about Dennis's fashion choices. And then I saw it. And it is so many things. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't.
Here are some ways that I have attempted to put together to describe it. It's a Frankenvest.
Okay. Or
maybe it's Frankenvest's monster. So it's like a shirt that's on sideways. There's a collar on one side. There's a vest that's like skewed to the side.
Why animal- does he have a sash?
No. It's like animal print Girl Scout sashes in the front, bar mitzvah DJ in the back. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's like Miss America, but not our America. Maybe the America in...
on Mars, where his costume is from.
Oh, yeah, it's Mars America. It's New America, which is one of the countries on Mars.
Yeah, it's right up there with Space Russia. I literally don't know what to say about this. This music, and don't ask me to cite my sources, because how would I ever know what this sounds like? But it sounds like the music they play in the background of like a very, very, very softcore erotica 80s movie about like straight people making out with like a blurry nighttime city behind them. And everyone's wearing like a cream camisole. It's not even after midnight. It's 11:30 and you're looking for like where MTV is or something, and you stumble upon straight people with 80s haircuts, all wearing cream, making out, and this is the song that's playing.
Wow. You really took me to a place.
Thank you.
Maybe his whole shirt is sideways because like after he made out in a really like, you know, there was a lot of heavy petting. Things were askew. Things were maybe the idea of taking them off was toyed with but never fully carried out. So things are just kind of like shifted over 90 degrees. It is kind of cream. I need us to put a cap on the amount of times we say cream in one episode.
Okay, cream. I'm done.
Okay, so what's that I hear? Is it the opening chords of Plush by Stone Temple Pilots? Oh my gosh, yeah. Plushy Corner!
Yay, plushies! A lot of bizarre stuff happened in my favorite segment of all time.
This was a fucking great event for plushies. Now, was I disappointed that more of them were not Halloween themed as they were at Skate Canada last year? Yes, I was. But you know what? The sheer variety and insanity of what we did see made up for that.
Let's speed round this, because there's a lot of them. Like, a lot.
Okay. Young You got a panda from We Bare Bears and a cursed-looking ragdoll.
Alexia Paganini got also a cursed-looking ragdoll.
I would like to say that if a fan made these ragdolls, I'm so sorry. You've done a beautiful thing for people out of the goodness of your heart, and I'm just a monster. But the cursed level of these ragdolls was so high. It was off the charts.
Also, Loki, all those are cursed, so it's not your fault.
Yeah, you were really fighting an uphill battle on that.
Brady Tennell got a giant elephant, which was so cute, and she puppeteered it, which is the way to my heart in a plushy corner is just like, puppeteer for me, makes me happy, she made it clap, it was cute.
Brady made it clap. Out of context, totally different sentence. Okay, Rika got a giant blue bunny, and a chicken, and a cat in plastic wrap. The chicken and the cat and the bunny are going to be difficult to get home, though, because they can't all be in the same boat at the same time. It's going to be a logic problem situation.
Yeah.
Thank you, I was proud of that.
Julian got a Totoro and also a moose with a hat on, which is acceptable for Canada. There should have been more Mies.
KG got a kitty cat, but you know what he missed was a giant avocado. And shout out to that fan who I literally, like, leading up to the event on Twitter was like, I got this giant avocado for KG to match his short program outfit. And like, I see you and I'm sorry he didn't pick it up. I feel like that was his loss.
Marin got like all of the Pikachus as per usual, including a train conductor one, which, all right.
Zhenya got some kind of unicorn blob.
I'm going to read verbatim how you put this down in this list we're going to be reading out. Brady got a furry ice cream cone. I know we put a moratorium on how many times I get to say cream. Furry ice cream cone.
Young You got a white bear, a big fluffy pink unicorn, and a corgi holding a donut.
That is like Mike Anthony Porowski's. That is Anthony Porowski's wettest dream.
Yeah, it's god tier.
Rika got a fluffy white teddy bear, a reindeer dog, and a big rainbow cat face thing.
Mateo got a lavender elephant.
Nick Nado got an egg in a suit, which is arguably the most bizarre thing on this list.
I didn't know how else to describe it. It was like a, I don't know. It just, no one else got an egg in a suit, so someone selected that for him. Dennis got something that I can only describe as a plastic wrapped toilet seat cover with a seal face on it. Now, I also need to specify that it was the animal seal and not the singer. I think that this is, I don't want to peek too early. I don't want to be like the judges of the 2018 Nebelhorn Trophy who gave Alina Zagitova the highest score anyone would ever get ever again until fucking Trusova, but just to like take it there and be edgy. But I do think this could be a 5 out of 5 plushies event. Yeah. Okay, so kiss and cry moments.
So many.
So many good ones and sad ones.
Yeah. I will say kiss and cry moments get so much easier when there is like great/horrible sound design happening. I don't know if we're meant to hear as much as we're hearing this time around, but it was like a very well-miked event.
So
we got a lot of like just running commentary.
Right. I think cutest reaction probably goes to Camden, right?
Oh, yeah. He experienced like the full range of human joy. And I love seeing that. Yeah.
Yuzu and Brian and Juslin had a, honestly, like a giggle party. Right?
It was they were having a great time. They didn't even care about scores at that point. Like, they knew it was going to be good. It didn't matter, like, how good.
It was true, and it was so cute, because Brian was like, well, I think you just won your first Skate Canada, and Yuzu was like, Skate Canada! And then he turned to his little Pooh Bear, and he was like, we did it, we won. It was so cute.
Oh, just precious. Just so cute.
So, taking a quick, a right turn around the corner, and look, it's social media corner. I'm gonna get a like a zero GOE on that transition.
a base value zero GOE zero.
An attempt was made. So first off, on a new segment that I am calling Polkin Chen Watch, which is,
oh my god,
what did Karen Chen and Camden Polkinen, the skating world's hottest new couple, do on social media this week? And following up on Cam's adorable reaction, Karen also posted, I think one of her friends took a video of her with her laptop up on the boards at her rank at Cornell watching Camden get his scores, and it was very sweet. Like, that's what you want.
I love that.
That's what you want.
It's very cute.
It's the exact thing that you want from skating couples, is like one of them skating but watching the other one skate but also skating. It was great.
What else happened? Team Raph and friends went to wine and painting class, which we can attest is so much fun. Also, just painting, still fun. Go do art with your friends.
You know what else is great. Fun? Just wine.
Correct.
You don't have to paint.
Huge if true.
Huge if true. Are you telling me I don't have to paint to drink wine? I can just drink wine?
The future is now.
The final thing I want to talk about is that Jimmy Ma, our good friend Jami, posted he posted a video of Alex Krasnajan slapping him for fun.
Boys are so dumb.
Boys are wicked dumb. That's like literally what I was going to say. Like, boys are dumb.
Megan, if people want to tell you everything they want to know about Canada and how you feel about it, where can they find you?
If you want to tell me about Canada, you can follow me on Twitter at MeganKelleher3. You can also follow me on Instagram at MeganKelleher3. They're the same handle. How about you, Netta?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A Marie, like every single Marie that you know of. It's a very common middle name. You can also follow me at @N_ice_skating if you want to see me attempt to spin. I'm not good at it, but it's fun. You can also find both of us at Ice Tea Pod, basically everywhere, Twitter, Instagram. That's also our web address for our very own website. It is also our Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/ Ice Tea Pod.
You could be among amazing stars like Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, and Heath. Don't you want to be cool like them? Yes, you do. All right, we will see you next week for an extremely special episode.
See you on the other side. Bye.
Bye.